Today, Ohio State Buckeyes are in the Big Ten Championship. Let's get a little of this going. Oh. Got to switch up the switcher key there. Make sure I get the right one so I can turn that down. As usual, we talk Ohio State Buckeyes with 10TV WBNS's Sean Dunnigan. He's down there covering the team, and we're asking his opinion on things as well. Sean, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. That was a heck of an intro there.
Thank you. I was going to say, I don't think we've had the Ohio State marching band intro you yet this year. Usually it's some sort of dumb Ric Flair woo or something like that.
Or like last week, the Almighty Bone Crusher.
That's right, yes. A guy I still can't find on Google. I've been looking for days and ages. But as always, it's a blast having you with us here today, Sean. And you and I were talking a little hockey. Blue Jackets in action, taking on the Minnesota Wild tonight. Hopefully they can get a victory over the Wild. We're not sure. Yeah, we're not sure on that one yet. Minnesota playing very good this year, but the Buckeyes. What was that? 62-39. They knocked off Michigan over the weekend. I don't think anybody really saw that coming. Buckeye fans will tell you they did, but I don't know they really did. Did you see that?
I don't think any Buckeye fan would tell you they saw that coming. I think, you know, I expected if the Buckeyes were to win that game, which I thought they would win within 7 points, within a possession. I did not see 62 points, 55 of those type points from the offense coming at all. I don't think anybody did against that Don Brown number one offense. I don't know if it kind of goes back though to Michigan State. Was Michigan that overrated, or was this the game that Ohio State finally put it all together?
Yeah, I've
been debating that one in my head all week.
No, I think a lot of people really have. And, I mean, that's the thing you look at. Against Michigan State, who's got one of the best run defenses in the country, they struggle. It ends up being a close game before they pull away at the end. Then they struggle against Maryland defensively. And then the offense just comes alive, puts up 69 points against the best defense in the country. The defense won't allow Shea Patterson, the running game, to do what they want to do. It was unbelievable to see that change. What was the biggest difference in that game that allowed the Buckeyes to kind of take control of it, do you think?
The play of Ohio State's offensive line was unbelievable. The fact that not only did they not give up any sacks, Dwayne Haskins didn't even touch the ground on almost any throw that I can remember of him passing on. He passed for 396 yards. The fact that he never even got hit or touched the ground on a drop back pass is unbelievable against a team that blitzes what looked to be about 75% of the time. So for the Buckeyes to be able to keep their quarterback upright and for him to be able to hit those long crossing patterns over the middle that Michigan just had no response for was unbelievable.
How much of that is attributed to Haskins in that run game, too? Because that's been one of the biggest critiques against him. And the Buckeyes opened the game with him rolling out, I can't remember, left or right side. But I thought to myself, wow, they're really letting him use his legs here. How much is attributed to his ability to get that run game going for himself?
That absolutely helps. That freezes the linebackers and the safeties and the corners. That freezes everybody to think, okay, who has the ball? That reopens that run-pass option that you hear so much about in college football of who has the ball. Who do I have to key in on to have the ball, whether it's the quarterback or the running back? When Haskins wasn't running the ball earlier this year, they didn't have to worry about keying in on Haskins. They just had to worry about whether J.K. Dobbins or Mike Weber or whoever got the ball in the handoff. Now that Haskins is running the ball, they have to attribute for him and he being able to just plow forward for some yards. And even if it's 1 yard, it still makes the defense think. And the thinking is the worst thing you can do right now on defense against Ohio State.
Without a doubt. And with that victory, again, I mean, the Buckeyes all of a sudden are back in this conversation about the college football playoff. I don't know that they ever really disappeared from it, but certainly I think a lot more people are thinking, oh, this could be a real possibility. What's the talk down there in Columbus? What do people think it could – do people think they have that opportunity to beat Oklahoma – or jump Oklahoma, I guess is what I should say, even if Oklahoma might win against Texas over the weekend?
People do, mainly for the factor of, you look at who Oklahoma's played on their schedule, you're looking at Ohio State has played on their schedule. Ohio State has some big wins against Penn State on the road, against Michigan State and their defense, and obviously against Michigan winning 62-39. Whereas you look at Oklahoma, you know their defense can't stop anybody. They have, I believe, two top 25 wins, one of which against West Virginia last week. But again, you're winning 59-56. So he goes back to the offense. I think a big thing, but then you look at the key losses. The key loss for Oklahoma was a 3-point loss to your rival on a last-second field goal. Sure. You look at Ohio State, and it's Purdue. It's a 6-6 Purdue team that didn't get bowl eligible until the last week of the season. And you look at those, and that key loss hurts as much as Iowa hurt last year.
Sure, I don't know. I guess with college football, I think what makes it tough is you look at some of the other things. The fact that Texas lost to Maryland at the beginning of the season. Oklahoma has the ability to avenge that loss here coming up in the Big 12 championship. And does the Purdue loss hurt them as much? Do they need a big win over Northwestern to really kind of cement that fact that, hey, we're the same Buckeyes you guys all know and love?
I think, honestly, if Oklahoma wins, which would they play at noon on Saturday. If Oklahoma wins, the Buckeyes know Oklahoma won. I think they need another 59-0 performance like they had a few years ago against Wisconsin when Cardale Jones went nuts in order to be considered as a 4 spot for the college football playoff. And that's assuming that Georgia loses to Alabama.
Sure.
As an Ohio State fan, you are going roll tide. You want Alabama to win, you want Texas to win, and then obviously Ohio State to win Saturday night to get into the playoff. If not, Ohio State wins, and they have a nice parting gift in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, well, it's not too bad this year. They'd play against, I don't know, somebody from the Pac-12 over there.
Washington or Utah.
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone's kind of in agreement on that. I mean, if Georgia beats Alabama, it's probably the Crimson Tide and the Bulldogs again in that college football playoff, right?
I think – I don't know if they would be playing each other right away.
But they'd finish those 4 spots.
Absolutely. I honestly would not be surprised if it's Clemson at 1, Bama at 4, Georgia at 2, Notre Dame at 3. Because Notre Dame doesn't play anybody. I think they're stuck at the number 3 spot. So I think if somehow Georgia is able to pull off a victory and beat Alabama, I honestly think that Georgia would move up to number 2 and jump Notre Dame. Clemson would move up to number 1 and Bama would be at 4.
It's the beauty of the college football season. There's 1 week left with all these championship games and still a lot of football left to play. Speaking with Sean Dunnigan here at WBNS 10 TV down in Columbus, Ohio, about the Ohio State Buckeyes. And well, we're talking about championship week. The Northwestern Wildcats, what do they bring to the table? What should Buckeye fans be keeping an eye out? What could they maybe do to this Buckeyes team?
They are on defense. They're very much a zone defense. They like to have everything in front of them. They don't give up a lot of big plays. Their linebacker, Patty Fields, I believe is his last name. He's played very good over the last 6-7 weeks. Look for Northwestern to be a bend but don't break defense. On offense, you have a great quarterback in Clayton Thorson, who a lot of people believe will be an NFL quarterback here in the future once he graduates this year. Isaiah Bowser has really come on as in the running back position and played well ever since the injury to Jeremy Larkin and him being out for his career. But Isaiah Bowser has really played well the last few weeks. Look for him to also have a big game and try to break out some big runs against Ohio State. Northwestern's offense is a little more like Maryland's than it is more like Michigan's. They are in shotgun a lot of the time. They're not really in I formation. They like to spread you out, but it's more like a power spread more than anything.
Northwestern's been one of those odd teams. Should Buckeye fans be a little afraid of this team? I mean, they played Notre Dame extremely well, and we all know they're a college football playoff team, but then they lose to Duke, to Akron. I mean, some of their losses seem a little bit odd.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you should be nervous about playing Northwestern. You're playing for a Big Ten championship. This is the biggest game pretty much in the history of Northwestern, at least since the 95 Rose Bowl, when Pat Fitzgerald was the middle linebacker for that team. This will probably be one of the biggest games in Northwestern history, playing for a Big Ten championship. They're going to be playing like there's nothing else left to play for, because there really isn't for Northwestern. Yeah. The Wildcats will be hungry. You know, you're playing at Northwestern, so you already know you're a smart kid. There aren't going to be a lot of penalties. You're just being a very disciplined team. And the one thing that Ohio State really wasn't against Michigan was discipline. They had 11 or 12 penalties for 120 yards against the Wolverines and still put up 62. So Ohio State needs to have the same type of offensive numbers, and if you put the penalties down less, you should come out with a big victory.
Well, the future's still undecided. If the Buckeyes can win that game, they might have a chance of making that college football playoff. Speaking of futures perhaps being undecided, Dwayne Haskins, this guy named the Offensive Player of the Year and the Quarterback of the Year in the Big Ten. What's that mean for Dwayne Haskins moving forward here?
But he plays in the Big Ten championship game.
I like that.
I assume you're asking, will he be going pro?
Yeah, that's sort of what I was thinking.
I believe he will. I haven't seen any signs that he's going to be coming back. I haven't seen any signs that he'll be leaving at all either. But, and when you're talking a weaker quarterback class heading into the NFL draft, and you're looking to be number two right now on Mel Kiper's draft board at quarterback, mm-hmm. possibly moving up to number one, especially if Justin Herbert returns to Oregon next season, are you kidding me? Yeah. I would take that money and run too. I don't think there's not really a doubt in my mind that Dwayne Haskins, this will be his only year at Ohio State. Huh? Ohio State fans, I think, they need to look back at what he's done this season, breaking all the school records and Big Ten records that JT Barrett broke, and it took him 5 years to do it. And you look at Haskins, and it took him 1 year.
Man.
And, breaking the Big Ten mark for passing yards in a season, touchdowns in a season. And he's got two more games left. I mean, Dwayne Haskins, it will go down as one of the best quarterbacks in Ohio State history, and this will be one of the best quarterbacking seasons in Ohio State history, in my opinion.
Sean, the Buckeyes aren't really known for producing NFL-quality quarterbacks, ones that actually last, a full career or start for a team for a full career. Do you see Haskins being able to break that trend?
I do. Just the way he delivers the ball, the way he stands tall in the pocket. He's shown a little bit of uneasiness when he gets pressured, but that's going to happen with any quarterback, and that's something he can work on in the NFL and in training camps, in practice. I do see him having a bright future in the National Football League. He's got a cannon for an arm. As I always said, he's got a JT Barrett accuracy with a Cardale Jones throwing ability where he can launch it, but it can also be accurate at the same time.
All right, as always, Dunny, appreciate talking to you. And as always, let's hope the Buckeyes can get that victory here. Started that a little loud. Played you in with it. We'll play you out with it as well here, Sean. Thanks for being on the show.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys. Talk to you next week.
Have a good one.
Later, man.
Sean Dunnigan there, WBNS 10 TV in Columbus, Ohio, telling us about the Buckeyes.